Come on, if the Spirit of the Lord is here and the presence of the Lord is here, why don't you give God a little high praise in this house? Oh, I magnify you, God. I lift you up, God. I call up on your name, God. Yeah, yeah, yeah. The Holy Ghost is in here. The power of God is in here. The presence of God is in this place. Now, I know you are worshipers, and I'm not just trying to pump you up. But I all day, all evening long, if Brother Reggie didn't stop a while ago, I was just going to say, here, just read my text and go ahead and call it a night. He just kept on talking about Joshua, talking about Moses, and I'm thinking, well, my goodness, I think he had his ear to the door when I was talking to the Lord this evening. The Lord just kept on impressing me. I didn't say I heard the voice, but something kept impressing me to tell New Life that no matter what it looks like, go on and just dance in advance. No matter what it seems like coming into your life, go on and dance in advance. No matter what it seems like is happening in your family, go on and dance in advance. Hey! If you feel like all hope is gone, dance in advance. If it seems like the devil's been in your pocketbook, dance in advance. It seems like your marriage is going to pot, dance in advance. It seems like your business is falling apart, come on and dance in advance. It seems like your... Now, why are you worshiping? I'm going to just read something. It says, now we know that God heareth not sinners. But if any man be a worshiper of God, he doth this will, and him he heareth. He said, let them praise his name in a dance. Let them sing praises unto him with a timbrel and a harp. It said, and let the Lord take pleasure in his people, and he will beautify unto salvation. Now, I don't know about you, but the word dance, I had to look it up. It meant to move. It meant to glide. It meant to jump, to leap, to rock, to step, to strut, to waltz. And then they had a few other ones. So what it was showing, that there was a little show of emotion. But the word worship, it meant to admire, to adore, to bow down, to celebrate, to exalt, to magnify, to praise, and to sing praises. I believe we still need to dance, but not to the tune of the world's music. We still need to dance, but not to the tune that the world is trying to portray. But when we come into the presence of the Lord, we need to dance before him. We need to praise before him. We need to exalt before him. We need to magnify before him. I've learned something about dancing. When you begin to dance, the devil don't like it. When you begin to worship, the devil don't like it. You see, because when you begin to dance, it's a form of treading on the head of the serpent. It's a form of getting the devil under your feet. When you begin to worship, the devil can't handle a worshiper. When you begin to worship, the devil don't know what to do with you. When you begin to worship and say, God, I'm going to give you high praise in hell. When you begin to clap, the devil don't like it. Why is that? Because that's the sound of chains being broken. When you begin to clap your hands, that ain't just a show of emotion, but that's the sound of chains being broken. That's the sound of bondage being broken. That's the sound of my God. Oh, when you begin to show any kind of emotion, the devil begins to tremble. The Bible said there's a time to weep, there's a time to laugh, there's a time to mourn, and there's a time to dance. So I'm here to tell you in this house, if the devil has been on your back, if he's been lying to you, if he's been telling you you're not gonna make it, I'm gonna give you a little story. I thought Brother Reggie was about to do it. Pharaoh, there he was, been defeated. All the chariots and the horsemen had been swallowed up. They were on the other side. But there was still some doubt about leaving Egypt. And the Bible said, and Miriam, a prophetess, the sister of Aaron, took a timbrel in her hand. Some of you women, get your tambourines. And I want you to begin to shake those tambourines. I want you to get out in the aisle. I want you to begin to shake those tambourines. And it said, and Miriam, the prophetess, the sister of Aaron, took a timbrel in her hand. And the women, they went out after her with the timbrel and with dances. Some of you young ladies, you begin to follow those ladies with those trembles. And she told them, I'm going to paraphrase, she told them women, I don't care what it looks like, dance in advance. She told them, I don't care what anybody else says, dance in advance. So Moses had the children. They got ready to drink the water, and the water was bitter. But they said, what are we going to do? The old prophetess Miriam said, don't worry, we've already danced in advance. Don't worry, we've already worshiped. Don't worry, we've already praised him. And the Bible said that he cut the tree. He put it down in the water, and that bitter water becomes sweet. I want you men, I want you to begin to dance in advance, because you have taken authority over the devil. You have taken authority over the enemy. This is your time to dance in advance. I don't know what you might be going through, and it really don't matter. But if you want the victory, just start dancing. If you want the victory, start praising. If you want the victory, start singing. If you want the victory, start stepping. If you want the victory, start magnifying. If you want the victory, give him some praise. If you want the victory, begin to leap. If you want the victory, begin to worship. If you want to claim your victory, prophesy. So here it goes. And the Bible said, and so the people shouted when the priest blew the trumpet. And it came to pass that when the people heard the sound of the trumpet, that the people shouted with a great shout, and the wall fell flat, so that the people went up into the city, every man straight before him, and took the city. I'm here to tell you, New Life, you've been worshiping, you've been marching, you've been going around, you've been praising every day, but we're on our last lap. We're on the seventh day, and we're about to do our last lap. Your wall is about to fall down. Your situation is about to change. Your problem is about to be gone. You say, I don't know if I can do it. Just go on and do it. You say, I don't know if I can worship. Go on and worship. You say, I don't know if it's for me. I'm here to tell you, praise him in the sanctuary. Praise him in the firmament of his power. Praise him for his mighty acts. Praise him according to the excellent greatness. Praise him on the sound of the trumpet. Praise him on the psaltery and the harp. Praise him in the timbrel and a dance. Praise him on the string instruments and the organs. Praise him up on the loud sounding cymbals and the high sounding cymbals. Let everything that hath breath praise ye the Lord. I come to praise you, God. I come to magnify you, God. I come to lift you up. I'm telling you, that's your king. I'm telling you, he's your king. The Bible said that he's the king of Israel. He's the king of righteousness. He's the king of the ages. He's the king of heaven. He's the king of glory. He's the king of kings and the Lord of lords. My king is a sovereign king. No means of measure can define his limitless love. He's enduringly strong. He's entirely sincere. He's eternally steadfast. He's impartially grateful. He's imperially powerful. He's impartially merciful. He is the greatest phenomenon that has ever crossed the horizon of the world. He is your king. So when you begin to worship him, the devil can't do nothing. When you begin to say, I'm coming to get my miracle, nothing can stop you. When you say, I'm coming to get my deliverance, nothing can handle you. When you say, come hell or high water, I am blessed and highly favored. I am a mighty man of God. I am a mighty woman of God. Why? Because he is my king. The Bible said that God is the sinner's savior. He's the centerpiece of civilization. He is unparalleled. He is unprecedented. He's the loftiest idea in literature. He is the highest personality in philosophy. He is the fundamental doctrine of true theology. He is the only one qualified to be the all-sufficient savior. I'm here to tell you, your king is alive and well. Your king ain't a dead king. He ain't a dried up king. He ain't a up king, but your king is alive and well. I want you to lay hands on your neighbor right now. I don't care where you're at. Don't find somebody. Just start laying hands right now. I want you to pray the blessing upon your neighbor. I want you to pray the blessing. I want you to just look at somebody and say, I'm going to pray for you while you pray for me. I want the blessings of God to be resting in this place. That Bible said that he supplies a strength for the weak. He is available for the tempted and the tried. He sympathizes and he saves. He guards and he guides. He heals the sick. He cleanses the leper. He forgives the sinners. He discharges the debtors. He delivers the captive. He defends the feeble. He blesses the young. He serves the unfortunate. He regards the aged. He rewards the diligent. He beautifies the meager. He is the key of knowledge. He's the wellspring of wisdom. He is the doorway of deliverance. He is the pathway of peace. He is the roadway of righteousness. He is the highway to holiness. He is the gateway to glory. That is your king. I'm here to tell you, you can dance in advance because the devil has been defeated, new life. You can dance in advance because your miracle is in this place. His life is matchless. His goodness is limitless. His mercy is everlasting. His love never changes. His word is enough. His grace is sufficient. His reign is righteous. His yoke is easy. And his burden is light. He is indescribable. He's incomprehensible. He's invisible. And he's irresistible. You can't get him out of your mind. And you can't get him off of your hands. You can't outlive him, and you can't live without him. I'm here to tell you, God is alive and well. He's water when you're thirsty. He's bread when you're hungry. He's a friend that is sick closer than a brother. He's a bridge over troubled water. He is the great intercessor of all mankind. He is light. He is love. He is longevity, but more than that, he is Lord. He's a bridge over troubled water. My God, he is your king. So devil, you have no power. So devil, you have no dominion. So devil, you are a liar and you are a deceiver. And the truth isn't in you. So whatever you need from God, it's already here. Whatever you want from God, it's already here. When my brother started saying the presence of the Lord and the power of the Lord and the spirit of the Lord, you see, your miracle has already been done. Your miracle has already been done. But what you've got to do, when God said it, it was already done. What you have to do is obtain it and believe it's going to happen for you. You see, your deliverance is already done. But what you've got to do is say, hey, he's talking to me. Hey, I'm receiving that myself. Hey, God, you talking to me. He said, you have not because you ask not. He said, where two or three are gathered together in my name, touching and agreeing, there I'm going to be in the midst of them also. He said, whatever you bind in heaven going to be bound on earth, and whatever you loose in heaven is going to be loosed on earth. I'm here to tell somebody up in this house, go on and dance in advance, because your miracle is already done. So here's what we're going to do. If you need God to do something for you, I didn't say you had sin in your life. I didn't say there was problems. I said, but you absolutely are fed up with the devil. You're absolutely fed up with the enemy coming against you. You're absolutely fed up with, it seems like every day, all hell breaking loose in your life. You're absolutely just fed up with the junk in this world. And you, for once and for all, you want to put the devil under your feet. You want to put him in the phone booth dialing 911. You want to get him off of your back. You want to get him out of your finances. You want to get him out of your marriage and off of your relationship and out of your job. And you want to just get him away from you. Now, I didn't say it was going to be roses from now on. But what I am saying is that you getting enough ump in your mind and your body and your spirit that you got going to let the devil know that you're not going to take this setting down. That you're not going to, there's about to be a standoff up in here. You're about to load yourself with the word. There's about to be a beat down up in here. And it ain't going to be on you, but it's going to be on him. You're about to step out of your dilemma into your destiny. You're about to step over your situation and say, no longer am I going to fight it. No longer. You say, well, David, I don't really know. Let me tell you something. You ain't got to know. If God said it, that settles it, whether you believe it or not. Now, whether you receive it or not is a different story. But whether you believe it or not, if God said it, it's yea and amen. The only thing that holds you from your miracle, the only thing that holds you from your deliverance, the only thing that holds you and keeps you back from your awesome experience with him is you. I don't know. I'm just wondering. I just don't know. Let me tell you something. I know it ain't good to lie, but in this case, it's going to be all right this one time. Just lie to yourself and tell yourself it's going to be all right. You might have to look in the mirror and say self, and self say, Say, I'm going to tell you now, we're about to be blessed. We're about to be overcomers. We're about to put the devil under our feet. We are about. So if you negative, tonight you're going to get positive. Because I learned something. When you get a little negative and a little positive together, before you know it, you get a little electricity going. Every once in a while, you got to take a little minus and a little plus and put it together. I learned something. When you got all the positive in one hand, it can't do much. And when you get all the negative in one hand, you can't do much. But when you put it together, something begins to happen. Something begins to shake. Something begins to... So you know what? I might have to jumpstart a couple people up in here to get your miracle, but your miracle is here. So take your neighbor by the hand. I want you to begin to worship him. I want you to begin to prophesy. I want you to claim what God is doing. Get your neighbor by the hand and say, I believe. I believe it. I believe it. I believe it. It is done. Say, I believe it. I believe it. So here's what we're going to do. If you absolutely need God to do something, I mean, you need an unprecedented miracle. If you need just a divine intervention from Jesus Christ, I want you to just come to the front. Just come on. I know we're going to do things different. Just come as close as you can, because there's going to be some folk coming. I'm about to pray the blessings, and I'm telling you now, they're about to fall. I'm going to tell you now, it's about to happen up in here. I'm going to tell you now, I feel the Holy Ghost up in here. I feel an anointing of God up in here like no, oh, I'm telling you. I ain't just trying to pump you up. I'm not trying to drum you up. I'm telling you now what's up in here. God is in this house. It's about to happen. There's about to be some financial doors open. I'm telling you, there's about to be some hundredfold blessings up in here. That, oh, come on now. There's about to be some raises on your job. The jobs that you thought wasn't coming, that God wants you to have, you're about to get that job. You're about to get that house you've been looking at. You're about, oh, come on now. You say, I don't know if that can happen. I don't know if that can happen. Before I let you go off the deep end, let me give you a little something. A little girl in our church, she took in 6 children. They're not hers. I don't know how she got them, but she got them. And the government says she's going to get this nice little house for her and them 6 kids. Well, it's been months, over 18 months. They keep losing the paperwork. She just come to me. She said, Brother Smith, you always preach in faith. She said, and I believe in you. I said, well, don't, baby, don't believe in me. Believe in God. She said, well, you know him, don't you? I said, yeah. She said, well, I'm going to believe in you too. She said, so here's what I want to pray. She said, I want to pray that the government, out of those 18,000 something applications, I want to pray that the government finds my application. And I also want to pray. Now, this girl's working, but she's trying to, and her husband's working, but they're trying to take care of some children that are not theirs. So all they did, they just applied for a big home. They wasn't trying to get a government loan or nothing. They just, it was through this program that you could help, that help you find home when you take in children. She said, we got money just to regularly live. She said, but when 6 kids come on the scene, she said, we didn't realize, we thought we was going to get just 1 or 2. She said, but we got all 6 of them, brothers and sisters. And she said, so here's what I want to pray. Out of those 18 plus thousand applications, she said, I want to pray tomorrow that when the woman gets to her desk, there is my application sitting right there. And she said, I also want to pray that she calls me and gives me an answer. She said, I'm just tired of being in limbo. She said, I just want an answer. And she said, and if God is all what he says he is, and because we're already in the house and we don't want to move out, she said, I'm just going to believe that God's going to take care of it. I said, okay, Cindy, let's pray. And we prayed and we prayed and we prayed. And that was on a little Wednesday night, and we got done praying. Well, I'm not home on Sundays, but the following Wednesday night, here comes Cindy. She said, Brother Smith, I need to speak with you. I said, yeah. I said, how's the house going? She said, well, it's pretty cool. She said, we prayed on Wednesday. She said she called me at 3 o'clock on Thursday evening, said she found my application and began to apologize and said, ma'am, I didn't realize in what such of a bind you were in. Y'all trying to pay this house note and really not by your income, not able to afford that, but you've taken in these 6 kids. She said, could I ask a question? And Cindy said, yes. She said, what do you owe left on the home? She said, well, we sold our other home and put that money down. She says, we owe about $119,000 and a few dollars. She said, well, here's what I need to do for you. She said, I'm overnighting you a check today for $120,000. She said, we're going to buy that house for you. Now, if that was you in your house, you'd be bucking. If that was you in your car, you'd be just throwing high praise. If that was you in your business, so you don't see it yet, but if you go on and dance in advance, it's on the way. You don't see it happening yet, but I'm telling you, if you'll praise him, it's on the way. A buddy of mine's evangelizing. He got him a truck and a trailer. $135,000 worth of stuff. I told him, I said, man, you crazy. Big old truck and trailer, diesel, $2.87 a gallon. Going to them churches, they ain't treating you right. Ain't paying your gas. I said, you can't have no home. Got to live in that thing 24/7. I said, man, you need to get out of that joint. You need to let God just take care of you. He said, man, we love traveling in that thing. He said, but boy, it sure would be nice to not have that note no more. I said, well, my God, Tim, that's what we need to pray, that you just don't have that note no more. I prayed about it and forgot about it because it ain't my note. I mean, I ain't going to lie. It ain't like I'm every day, you know, up on my knee. Oh, God, and then you know my buddy out there with that truck and that trailer. But he called the other day. He said, hey, man, I'm in this little bitty church. He said, wasn't hardly nobody there. He said, some dude walked up to me and said, hey, that's a beautiful rig out there. He said, that thing's beautiful. He said, yeah, about $130,000 worth of beautiful. He said, well, my God, that ain't no big deal. He said, that's why I wanted to speak to you. He said, I don't want to make sure you're not going to be offended. He said, but just tell me how much you owe on the whole thing. I'd like to pay it off for you. Now, I ain't talking about going out and buying an Escalade and then saying, all right, God, here's my note. I need you to go on and take care of that for me, because Brother Smith said you can do all things through Christ which strengthen us. But what I am saying is that there's situations in our life that we need God just to open up the windows of heaven. We need God just to open up the windows of heaven. Brother Joe, I'm going to prophesy that you get so much business, my God, that your family won't ever have to worry about it. You're going to be so packed up, people from all over. You say, how's that going to happen? I'll tell you how. Start telling all your friends about that place. And then before you know it, you'll be able to hire crews and you won't even have to work. I'm telling you now, some of you been looking at a home, and it seems like you've been looking at a home, and it seems like it ain't going to happen. I'm telling you now, if it be God's will, I'm telling you now, you will have that home. You say, well, what do you mean if it's God's will? The Bible said he ain't going to put more on you than you can bear. Why would God give you a home that he knows you can't afford to know? Why would he give you a car if he knows you're going to lose it? See, what I've been talking to God about is living within my means. God, you see my family. You see we look like the Clampets. I need a big enough vehicle to call us all around. And that's what he gave me. Paid for. Somebody wrote me. I told you all the story here. Somebody wrote me the check for that joint. I bought it on Friday and paid it off on Tuesday. I'm trying to tell you, in this house, there ain't nothing God can't do. You've been going, they've been going over you on your job. They've been going over you. You've been wondering, why haven't I got the raise that I'm telling you now, if you've been faithful in your tithes and your offerings, you are about to get that raise. See, things like that, you can speak in the heavens, because here's what'll happen. Did I tell you about the woman? Did I tell y'all about the woman who wanted to kill her boss? Did I tell y'all about her? I had a woman come up to me in Dallas. She said, Brother Smith, I want to pray that Jesus kills my boss. I said, ma'am, I can't pray that. I said, because I'm a mighty man of God, and he might do it, and then I go up for murder, and then I won't be able to preach and feed my family. I thought she was kidding at first. She said, you think I'm kidding? I'm serious. She said, that man's a liar. She said, I want God just to... I'm like, whoa, you know. So then all of a sudden, I'm thinking, well, I got a nutcase on my hand, you know. Y'all know what I'm talking about. You know what I'm talking about. Got them little nutcases, you know. And so I'm thinking, well, I need to keep my distance from her because I might have to smack her in Jesus' name or something. She get too close to me and start going postal on me or something. So anyway, I said, well, ma'am, I'm not going to pray that, but what I will pray that God will take care of your situation. She says, well, you go on and pray what you want. She said, but I'm telling you now, I'm praying. And I'm like, now listen, now I'm not going to pray for you if you're not going to be obedient. I said, because you see, I said, the spirit of disobedience is just like the spirit of witchcraft. When you're disobedient, when the pastor says to do something and you don't do it, well, that's the same as the spirit of witchcraft. So I said, baby, I'm not going to pray that. And if you're going to be so disobedient, I said, I ain't messing with no witchcraft. I'm telling you that right now. Now, if you want to pray, she said, all right. She said, I'll see it your way. She said, let's just pray. I said, let's pray. So we pray. Well, I wasn't even supposed to be back the next Sunday. Brother Foster called me and said, hey, listen, you got to come back Sunday. He said, something broke in the spirit. He said, we done had 90 people get the Holy Ghost. He said, you got to come back. There you go. I knew y'all remember. So anyway, my God, I go back. I mean, here it comes. Son. Here she comes. She said, I got to talk to you. And I'm thinking, oh, my God, she done killed that dude. And now I'm going to be a witness for this joint. They're going to come serve me papers. And I said, well, hold on now. She said, let me tell you what happened. She said, we prayed on Sunday. She said, I went back on Monday, and he cussed me up and up one side and down the other. She said, you know, I had to lie to be at church last night. She said, but I asked God to forgive me before I left. She said, because when I took that job, they told me I wouldn't have to work Wednesdays and Sundays. And she said, and after about the third or fourth week, they've been having me work every Wednesday and every Sunday. She said, I had to lie to be at church last Sunday. She said, but let me tell you what happened. She said, he was cussing me. She said, he was calling me everything about not coming to work last night. And she said, and why he was cussing me, she said, our boss walked by. And then when he got done cussing me, she said, I was crying. She said, he had me so upset. And his boss called me in the office and said, does he do that all the time? And she said, yes, sir. Not only does he cuss me, he's a liar. He said, what do you mean? She said, he promised me that I could go to church on Wednesdays and Sundays. She said, in fact, she said, I had to lie last night to go to church. And she said, and look what I'm getting today. He says, well, no longer. He said, I've been getting reports on him. He said, could you leave the office? So she left. He called him in, and she said, you could tell something was going on. And he walked out with the keys and said, here you go. Said, from now on, he says, you're running this company. And he said, and I'm going to give you a $20,000 a year raise. And she said, and you don't have to work on Wednesdays or Sundays because you're making your own schedule. I'm here to tell somebody up in this house, God is about to break open. God is about to unleash. God is about to do something extraordinary at New Life. So now, people say, why do you tell those? Because they're true. And I'm tired of hearing junk. I'm tired of hearing negative mess. I'm tired of always hearing about who failed and who done this and who done that and what's all bad the world is. You know what? God is alive and well. So here's what we're about to do. We're about to lift our hands. In just a few minutes. And everything that has been coming against you, everything that's been happening to you, everything, from the smallest to the biggest, I want you to command it to loose you. I want you to command it to loose your body, your mind, and your spirit. Because God is the creator of the body, the soul, and the mind. I want you to command it to loose. And then I want you to command it in the pits of hell. Now, y'all been worshiping for an hour and a half, so I, you, If you feel like it, you can. If you don't want to, that doesn't mean we're not going to be blessed. But when you get done loosing it from you and binding it in the pits of hell, I want you to keep your hands lifted and with your voice give God some high praise. And you mark me down. Mark me down. In the next few days, there's going to start being unusual miracles. In the next few days, God's going to start. You're going to be going in some. You're going to say, oh. I'm telling you. He said, well, I don't know. Well, if you don't, hey, you know what? If you don't believe, then I got great news for you. You won't receive. If you don't believe, don't worry about God doing nothing for you, because he ain't. So you can't be disappointed, because I'm telling you straight up. If you don't believe that it's going to happen, oh my God, waste your time. Go on home, go to McDonald's, get you some nuggets and go to the house. But if you believe it's going to happen, get ready. In fact, you say, how am I going to know? I'm going to tell you how you're going to know. Because when you loose it and you bind it in the pits of hell, and you begin to give him some praise, you're going to begin to feel the anointing. You're going to begin to feel the oil running from the top of your head to the bottom of your feet. You're going to say, my God, what is that? I'm going to tell you what that is. That's Jesus gently wrapping his arms around you, saying, I got you in my best interest. I got you. I got your back. I'm telling you, I got your front. I got side to side. I've got you surrounded. So are you ready? Lift your hands. I want you to begin to pray right now. I want you to begin to pray. Loosen and then put it in the pits of hell. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, Savior of the world, by your stripes we are healed. That your name will be exalted. God, right now, because you are the creator of the body, the soul, and the mind, every word that is being spoken right now, God, we say yay and amen. I loose every situation. I loose every disease, every sickness, every dilemma. I loose from this place, from New Life Tabernacle, from every saint of God in this building that believes on you, God. I loose that situation from them, and I bind it in the pits of hell right now. And devil, you have no power and no dominion, and you have been defeated. Give God some high praise in here, New Life. I praise you, God. I magnify you, God. I'm dancing in advance, God, because it's already done. It's already done. It's already done. It's already done. God, you're going to give those raises. God, you're going to give those new jobs. God, you're going to mend those marriages. God, you're going to help those relationships. God, they're going to get those houses. God, they're going to be able to sell that house. God, they're going to get that car. God, they're going to do it, God. God, you're going to do unusual and unprecedented miracles in this place. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. With my mouth, God, I praise you. With my mouth, God, I adore you, Lord. Hirayabashata. I praise your holy name, God. I worship you, God. I'm telling you, rejoice with your brother because it's a done deal. I said, rejoice with your sister because it's a done deal. Oh, you're going to be calling. And when somebody calls you and tells you about their miracle, I want you to rejoice with them. I want you to rejoice with them. When somebody calls and tell you how great is thy God, how great the Lord has done, I want you to praise with them, because that means your miracle is right around the corner. That means your miracle is right around the corner. That means your blessing is right around the corner. That means that God is still on the throne. He is alive and well. New life, you better get ready. This is a beautiful building, but this is not the building God has for you. You got to get a bigger building. Boy, I feel it. You got to get a bigger building. It's going to happen right now. You got to get it. I'm telling you now because they're coming. I'm telling you they're going to be driving 50 miles. I'm telling you in the radius of 50, they're going to be driving. I'm telling you they're going to be coming here. I'm telling you your family's coming home. Your husband's coming home. Your wife is coming home. Your children's coming home. Your co-workers are coming. I'm telling you your neighbors are coming. They're coming here. I'm telling you because this is a place that magnifies the King. Oh, I tell you, Jesus, 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 I believe it. I said, I believe it. I said, I believe it. Tell you something. I normally don't do this. And the reason I don't do it is because you always get blasted about certain things. Today I talked about, how many was here Sunday this morning? I know we had a lot of staff and in the back, but how many missed the little lesson on the devourer? How many of you missed it? A lot of folks missed it. I hate you missed it. I don't want to go through it all again, but I'm going to tell you what. I didn't even realize what the bishop had been talking about. I didn't realize what other ministers that were coming in. I was preaching something totally different here this morning. If you were here, and the Lord just dropped it on me about the devourer. You know, old Joseph had all kind of. Are we all right? Y'all all right? I said we could be out an hour ago, but y'all been shouting and bucking and snorting. Y'all only gave it to me 20 minutes ago, so that's your fault. So give me about 5 minutes. You know what? Old Ben, you know, old Joseph had all kind of things going on, and y'all know the little story. He gets sold off, and he's way out there, and then there's a big old famine coming in, and there's all kind of problems. And then Joseph ends up being the one to bless his own brethren. Did he not? And he knew who they were, but they didn't know who he was. Now, this might be a type and a shadow, and some of you might take this wrong. Why don't you go sit down, because I know you're tired. Go sit down if you want to. Give me a couple minutes. Or you can sit down on the floor. I don't care. It don't matter where you go. I told you about 100-fold blessings this morning. It's been on me all day. And if I don't obey the Holy Ghost when I leave here, I'll be miserable. I'll be miserable. And I ain't going to leave here being miserable. Because this is too fun of a church to leave here miserable. But Joseph, there he was. All his brothers coming. He's feeding them. He's giving them. He loaded down the wagons. I mean, he gave them, man, provision. He wanted to take care of them. They didn't even know who he was. But here's what he said. He said, don't y'all have somebody else? Well, you know, we got, you know, he said, you know what? He said, y'all done a little things, and even though they didn't do it, he was just trying to work around it because he was just wanting to, in one aspect, I think he was wanting to bless them, but in another aspect, he just wanted to get back at them for what they done. He said, you know what I want y'all to do? I want y'all to bring me that baby brother little Benjamin. I want you to bring him to me. Well, you know, he said, I'm going to give you all this provision. I'm going to lay all this on you. The famine ain't going to bother you because I'm fixing to lay it on you. He said, but here's what I want. He said, I want Benjamin. I was talking to the prophet the other day, mighty man of God in my life, and we were talking about that. He said, you know, he said, that was a type in the shadow. He said, $100 is a lot of money. $100 is a lot of money. He said, we have dollared ourselves to death and $5 ourselves. And, you know, we took the offering a while ago. And here's how we do it. We say, folks, we're going to give in our offering. And then here's what we do. We pull out the same amount that we always pull out. We come to church with a preconceived idea of however much we're going to give. We do it all the time. We don't pray and ask God how much to give. This is all across the fellowship. We don't pray and say, God, what is it that you would have me to give today or tonight? We don't say, Lord, what is it that you would like me to do? We just give our same little. In fact, I know some people that come with it already folded up. And when it's time for the offering, they already know where it's at and they pull out the same little buck every time. But this little Benjamin deal kept working on me. And I told the old prophet, I said, isn't it amazing that he kept asking for old Ben, kept asking for Ben, and on them $100 bills, that's Benjamin Franklin. And well, we just laughing and joking. He said, you know what? That may be a type and a shadow, even in the Old Testament. I thought, my God, it might be a new revelation. We're going to start preaching. It's all, no. But we begin to think about that. And I begin to think, I said, you know, $100 is a lot of money. And I said, but you know what? When everybody starts, when people begin to sow seed and people begin to deal for the last, I want to say, I don't want to exaggerate, but I want to say the last 2 or 3 months, I've been having people call me saying, Brother Smith, when we were praying and prophesying, for some reason we hadn't just been getting just a little bit. We haven't been getting, but we've been getting like hundredfold blessings. And in my mind, I started saying, goodness gracious, is maybe the Lord trying to just, I hate to say this, but stretch our faith? You know, we can give $5 or $10. We can give $20 if we really think about it. But $100. Now, I don't know about y'all, but where I come from, $100 is still a lot of money. Is it just me or is $100 a lot of money? It's a lot of money. But you know, God, you can't dictate to him how he's going to bless. And all evening I laid down and I just laid back and just talked to God about tonight and just talked to God. And I just kept feeling impressed. Tell New Life. They got hundredfold blessings coming. And I'm thinking in my mind, all right, God. I said, well, Lord, I told Brother Reggie on the way here, I said, my God, they'll get to shouting and bucking and snorting tonight. I said, if we ain't careful, we'll be out by 7:15. We laughed and joked about that, but I knew better because y'all love church. We're not but an hour late, but big deal. We're still getting out earlier than normal. But here's the deal. It's a stretch. It's a pulling. You know, I could say, you know, we could have 50 people here, you know, or you know, give $200, or we have 100 people here that has $100, or we have this. Now, I'm going to explain something here. I believe in sowing seeds. I'm a seed sower because I know that when I sow seed, not for return, but you always get return. And another thing, I don't. When I feel this, I've only felt this probably 7 or 8 times in 4 years, maybe 9 times. I could look in my book and tell you exactly how many times I felt this. So I want to clear something up. When you sow seed, it ain't going to me, number one. I don't believe in taking up your own offerings. The bishop's going to take care of me and take care of me well. He ain't even here, and they probably got me a check wrote somewhere. If not, I am not leaving here till I get... No, I'm kidding. Tell you right now, I'm moving in with somebody. We waiting on... No, I'm kidding. So I want you to understand that. But you know, if 100 people gave $100, you know that'd be $10,000 to go to the church for whatever you needed. What would happen if I said, you know what? I want you to, you might have it. You might have to write it in faith, or you might pledge it. But within, say, the next 30 days, you'd pay your pledge of $100. Then you say, well, why would we do that? I'll tell you why. To stretch your faith. Because I've learned something about God. Anytime that you stretch, it what? It hurts. Anytime you stretch, it hurts. I don't know what the church needs, and it might not need nothing. But it might. It might need a bus. It might need this. It might need painting or something. It might need... It, you never know. You might have... Y'all have property. You might need... You might have property. You might have a new building coming. I know y'all going to need a new building. I know that. So now, I know we got a lot of young people here. I know we got, and I don't care what you say. But $100 is a lot of money. But it's nothing compared to what God can do on the rebound. Now, I'm going to help you here. All evening, I've been feeling hundredfold blessing. But I need to clear something up. Out of obedience, you would be blessed. But if you gave because you say, what an investment, then please don't give. Because here's why. God ain't going to do it. And then you'll say, well, old Smitty came. Forget that one. If he says that again, let's just disregard that, because that ain't happening. So now, how many will agree with me that the old Benjamin, $100, is a lot of money? Put your hands down. But how many knows, you agree, that there's no possible way to outgive Jesus Christ? Put them down. Now, Brother Reggie, is this all right? I mean, I know you and all y'all in charge here. I don't want to be in trouble when the bishop comes home. Now, y'all tell him I've been apologizing about this the whole time. I want to be able to come back here, you know. But here's the deal. You might not have it tonight, or you might have it tonight, or you might have to write it and post-date it. But within the next 30 days, you can sow a $100 seed into this building, into this church, into this body. $100, just $100. You break it down. Most of you go out and eat one time a week. Cost you $15 or $20. Just one time a week. Don't go out. In 4 weeks, you got your $100. I seen some boys running around a while ago with like some Air Jordan. Them things are $100-something. I know that's it's not pressure. But it makes you start thinking. You know, if it's something you really want, man, you'll bend over backwards to get it. You'll rob Peter to pay Paul just to get what you want. So now, if you just want to be stretched, it's going to be between you and the Lord. But the $100, you say, you know what? In the next 30 days, I can make that happen. I might have to write my check and post-date it. I might have to put my IOU in the offering. But in the next 30 days, I'm going to sow a $100 seed, a faith seed offering into my church. And God, because you're bound to your word, I'm going to help you here. If you plant tomato seeds, you get what? And if they plant apple seeds, you get what? And bananas, you get what? So if you sow money, you're going to get what? You say, well, that's crazy. No, it's not crazy. See, you're going to, okay. I'm stretching your faith because y'all looking at me like a mule at a new gate. I'm stretching your faith. But I'm telling you, it's going to happen. There'll be unprecedented things happen. And again, what I love being able to say is, this ain't for me. This is for you and for him. All right? So now, if you'll be able to sow in them 30 days, $100, that's only $25 a week. Would you stand? Would you stand? $100. One. Are y'all standing or y'all? One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 22, 24, 26, 28, 29, 30, 31, 32, 33, 34, 35, 36, 37, 38, 39, 40, 41, 42, 43. Is this as a family? I want to make sure. 43, 44, 45, 46, 47, 48, 49, 50, 52, 54, 56. Now, you boys, y'all standing up? Y'all going to get $100 together between all of y'all? All right, let's just wait. 50. That's moving in faith. 51, 52, 53, 54, 55, 56, 57, 58, 59, 60. 62, 64, 66, 67, thank you. 68, 69, 70, 71, 72, 73, 74, 75, 76, 77, 78, 79, 80, 82, 84, 86, 88, 89, 90, 92, 94, 96, 98. Now, God's not going to make me a liar because I said there was 100 people that had $100. Now, some of you might be wanting to give more. You don't have to tell me, but you was going to give more than 100. Would you just lift your hand? There it is, there it is, there it is. There it is. Okay. Church, you just sowed about $10,000 into the ministry. Now, you might have it now. You might have your check now. I want you to look around. Look at all your buddies. And about every once in a while said, hey, don't forget your faith promise. Because that's what it is. But you might have it now. If you have it now, if you have your checks now, if you want to post-date them, whatever you want to do, I want you just come. Just lay them right here. And Brother Reggie, you want to come and take it over with now? Because it's kind of tight. Come on. No, I'm kidding. But I want you just so you see. I'm telling you now. It don't now. You know what? You say, well, I didn't have $100 and I didn't have this. You know what? $1, $5, $2, 25 cents, 100, $3, it don't matter. If you were going to give something, I just want you to wave your hand while the mother, I just want you to wave your hand. Everybody, look at that, was given something. Everybody in this church is about to be blessed by the Lord. Now, that don't kill a service. What that does is stretch our faith. So this church just done a mighty, mighty thing. I want you to give yourself a hand clap of praise. Oh, come on, give yourself some high praise. You stretch yourself tonight, and God's going to do it in the name of Jesus Christ. Is that all right, bro?
Praise the Lord. Praise God. I'm expecting God to do it. Jesus came down from the Mount of Transfiguration, and he met his disciples, and he met a man who was possessed of a devil. And the dad of the child came to him and said, I brought him to your disciples, and he couldn't do it. They couldn't cast him out. And Jesus said, oh, generation of unbelief. He said, bring him to him, to me. And he healed the man. He healed the boy. He cast out the devil. And the disciples said, why couldn't we do it? And he said, some things come out, but by prayer and fasting. But the thing that's interesting to note in the story is that Jesus didn't pray. He didn't fast. He said, come out of him. Why did he not pray and he didn't fast? He was already prepared. He already had prepared for the problem. He had already prayed. He had already fasted. And Brother Smith says, you need to dance in advance. I'm telling you, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we've planted seed in this house. We've praised in advance. We've danced in advance. We've prayed in advance. When a problem is presented to you in your life or in somebody else's life, you need to say, I got a God. You got a problem, but I got a God, and I am prepared to have my God meet that need. It's a terrible feeling to walk into a job or to anything and not be prepared, but I'm prepared for my miracle, and I'm prepared for God to use me as a conduit for someone else. Praise God. What an awesome service. God is so good to us. Pray that God bless you in the next week. There's an elders team meeting in the prayer room. I'm dismissed in Jesus' name. Praise God.